prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpets sound. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul, 21 October 2020. Welcome to tonight's broadcast. We're going to bring up a special guest in a few minutes. I'll tell you about that in a minute. In the meantime, tomorrow is office day. And if Lord allows, we'll be in the office tomorrow between 9 and 4 o'clock. To take your phone calls, talk to your wife if you want to talk. If you want to place an order, give a donation, we'll be here tomorrow to do that. And the good news for a lot of y'all, Crystal will be back tomorrow. Crystal Joy has been with me now for over, I guess, 22 years in this little office. And she's kind of like my right-hand man, but don't tell her I said that. She's actually a nice lady. But anyway, she'll be back with us tomorrow. So when you call, you'll probably get her on the phone also if you want to speak to her. But tomorrow's office day, and I always look forward to that, to say hi to everybody. I mean that. I really do. And just don't forget why we're offering this month the way specials. You already know most of them, folks. And I still would recommend highly, very highly, a copy of the DVD on the Mark the Beast, or CD if you prefer. Folks, you got to hear that to understand that this is something that's going to come in so subtly, so easily, and people won't even notice it. It'd be like people wearing a mask. They won't even pay attention to it. They'll just do it because they've been told it's the best thing to do. Now, I'm serious about that. You got to get a copy of the DVD or CD to hear that. It's $10, folks. That's delivered to your door. I'd give it away if I could, but I can't afford to do that, obviously. So, but you make copies of it. If you want to share with your friends, you could save somebody's soul, and that's the truth, and I do mean that. And we're going to offer next week, the packet of books on how pre-trib won, $10 or $40, folks. If you believe, and I don't mean throw stones at you, because I used to believe it also, that there is a pre-tribulation rapture, you need to read this book. You need to share with your friends also how pre-trib won. If you're not afraid of the truth, $10 or $40 delivered to your door. And I hope you take advantage of that. I really and truly do. And don't forget the Grand Design Exposed, a book that everybody should read for their own learning right now. There's things happening, folks, that line up just as clearly as can be. And I'm dead serious about that. It really and truly is coming together as planned. And as I said the other night, we do have backyard medicine in stock. Somebody called last week, and I went in the office, and Judy was here by herself. I did some errands. And she didn't know we had backyard medicine in stock anymore, but we do. If you call back tomorrow, whoever called, we'll have it in stock. We'll get you one up to you right away. Backyard medicine is available, folks. Just call them tomorrow and ask at 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448. We would love to hear from you tomorrow. Whether you're ordering anything or not, just call and say hi to us. We want to hear from you. We sincerely do mean that. And the news magazine will be going out of here next week. If you're not on our email list to receive the magazine, I don't know what to tell you, folks. It's totally free. It's always the biggest magazine out there we offer on headlines and news. These are all authenticated articles and information that you can share with your friends and family. Make copies of it you like and share with them. They're always between 50 to 70 pages long. We do that once a month for free, so you can have news in your hand. Now, we'd love to send them to you a hard copy, and we can, folks, but it's really expensive to do that. It truly is. It's about $100 a year to cover costs and those things that mail out of here and have them printed. But we can do that if you like. But the email is always free. And email me if you want a copy. If you also receive it, just email me at pastorbutch@startmail.com. Pastorbutch at start, like you start a car. Startmail.com and say, I want the news magazine. We'll get it right out to you. How's that? And, of course, don't forget, if you listen on Shortwave tonight on 6115 right now live, you listen to a movie called Melody Seastrom with Discount Gold and Silver. He's paying for that airtime. She's been very good to the ministry, folks. She truly has. You need to give her a holler at 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188. And I would highly urge you to make a move in the direction of something that's really real money, something that's tangible, and get out of paper quickly, quickly, quickly. That's all I'm going to tell you tonight. Now, I'm going to read a little bit about tonight's guest. His name is Greg Ford. Now, by the way, he just informed me. He just got back from the hospital. He's going to try to do the show anyway. He just got in a few minutes ago. But to discuss that more in a minute also. But I want to read to you this information about Greg Ford, who he is. I met him last week briefly. I was on Bill Deagle's broadcast for half an hour last Thursday after I got through in the office. And he was there, and I listened to a few things he said, and it kind of intrigued me. So I called him up and talked to him. Invite him to share his story with us on our broadcast. Now, this little brief article about Greg Ford says this. Gregory Ford, an intelligent agent and medic, was in Iraq for only a short time, from the invasion in March 2003 to early June of the same year, when he was strapped to a stretcher, drugged and renditioned out of Iraq in a clandestine and criminal operation at the behest of his command, who were frantically trying to silence him. But why? Midnight in Samaria is the shocking true story of one soldier's attempt to speak up and report the abuse and torture he saw being inflicted on the local population, as well as secret incriminating enormous Iraqi arms stores of American-made weapons of mass destruction, with bills of lading implicating, among others, famous political families. His warnings about simmering anti-American fury of the local populace were ignored and suppressed by his command. Hundreds of millions of dollars in cash seized in the home of Saddam Hussein, Hussein's main bunker, as a result of Ford's intelligence work, vanished without a trace. Ford's information about Hussein's location, which could have led to the dictator's apprehension 6 months before his actual capture, was also ignored and suppressed. As Ford was filing charges against his superior officers, they seized his weapons, which is illegal in a war zone, tried to declare him insane, abducted him by force, restrained him, administered a dangerous mind-altering drug during a medevac flight, and tried to interrogate him while he was under. Years later, Gregory Ford is still trying to get justice. His command and high-ups in both the military and the government lied, dissembled, obfuscated, danced, and dodged while Ford endured libel, slander, and innuendo. Feared for his life, and nearly a decade after the drugging, on the same plane, learned that the chemical injected into him had done permanent damage to his heart and nervous system. Midnight in Samaria is a story of one man's courage and conviction and the horrifying truths of one of our most trusted and honored institutions. Now, folks, this kind of news isn't pleasant to hear. But I know this man's telling the truth, and I will tell you right now, I'm saying this because I know he wants you to know this. He does stutter a little bit, and sometimes his mind is kind of wanders. He's been hit hard with illegal drugs. They tried to kill him. They actually shot him down some months ago. He was in a coma for 3 months. They actually took him out with a laser beam and actually hit him in the back of the head and knocked him out for 3 months and tried to kill him that way. So his mind may sometimes a little bit slow come together and may stutter a little bit. But Greg is doing his best to get the word out about what's going on behind the scenes in our so-called honored government, military, and officials, political and military, that are involved in a lot of things, folks, that we don't want to hear about, we don't want to think about. But being an ex-Vietnam-era vet myself, I tell you right now, folks, we are not lily white by any means, not even close to it, not even 1960s when I was serving in Southeast Asia. We were not lily white by any means. And Greg Ford, are you there?
Yes, I am, Pastor Butch.
It's good to have you, and I mean that, truly is. I'm sorry you just got out of the hospital a few minutes ago. I hope you're feeling okay. But I want you to relax tonight. If you get too tired, just feel free to step out and take a break, whatever you want to do, or just do what you can. But I did my best to read this article as best I possibly could and explain to people who you are and what you've done. And they know now about some of the things that you went through. But I would tonight, if you would, take time, the time to put together a few thoughts on what you actually saw where you were in there as a intelligence agent and a medic in Iraq and other places around the world when you were serving in the military. And, Greg, I'll tell you this. I never saw what you saw. A lot of it, I never saw even a tenth of what you saw. But I did see things that I never thought of when I saw it, like packing drugs in Cameron Bay, Cameron Bay, Vietnam, and Udorn, Thailand, packing body bags and drugs and flying out of there in C-130s, Air America. I never thought anything about that because I thought we were doing it, so we were good guys. That's how ignorant I was. But you go ahead.
Okay, well, thank you, and I want you to know, Pastor Butch, that it's a real honor to be here, okay?
Well, thank you, so, thank you.
Yeah, so I will do my best, and I realize that a lot of this stuff is bordering on the incredulous. Now, and I want all your listeners at any time, feel free to ask me, okay? And the biggest thing about it is, with this type of amazing story is that, and this is heartfelt, okay, is my response is this, is don't believe what I say, all right? Don't believe everything I say, okay? Because that's what the problem is in our society, is we have at least 45 to 50% of the population believes everything they're told. Okay, and as a result, we're in some very disastrous straits right now because everybody believes, everything that they're told coming from some sort of person in authority, some sort of person that's given the mantle of authority by our media. So when you're there, as I was, in the heart of Iraq, and when you hear a child scream or a person scream in agony, and then you smell the smoke of their burning flesh, that's when things begin to change in one's perception.
Now, I hate to take a lot of time on this one point, but you said you could smell the burning flesh of children and whatever, innocent people. What do you mean by that? Why were they being burned? What was going on?
Well, for the first thing is, and I'll try to say this without, I do suffer very bad post-traumatic stress disorder. In fact, I have the highest rated PTSD level in the United States. It's been documented several times now, and so I will try without stuttering and stammering to get the message out. Is when I was there. Okay, I was a counterintelligence agent. I was, and I want everybody to understand this, that when I was forced and drafted to go to Iraq, I was actually, I had my, what do we say, my retirement letter was in to be retired from 30 years of working for our government, doing everything from security for Richard Nixon, Richard Milhouse Nixon, at his estate in California, San Clemente, to doing drug enforcement in the Caribbean, all right, to doing operations intelligence operations in Central America, Asia, all right, Europe, several places in Europe, and Russia, Germany, places like this. So I had a very colorful history, and the last thing I expected to have was this: is to be called into a room, and they said, "Hey, Doc," they call me Doc because I'm the doctor of the group, and they said, "Hey, pack your things. You're going to Iraq." And I said, "No, wait, hang on a sec. I just spent 30 years in this outfit. I am not going to Iraq. And they said, well, yes, you are, you know, at the needs of the country, needs of the service. And so, and I said, well, okay, why is that? And they said, because I had the highest level of qualifications that were needed for this assignment. Okay, I can read the writing on the wall. I'm sure everybody that's listening to this broadcast could read the writing on the wall. I was going to Iraq. And I thought, oh, okay, well, we'll wrap things up, we'll tie things up, tie up loose ends, and I'll go to Iraq, and I'll come back, and I'll retire. All right? And so then what happened was I, of course, the rest is history. What happened with 9/11 and the World Trade Center, in my book, Midnight in Samarra, I give the briefing for the attack on the World Trade Center.
All right, I've got to get. I mean, I got to get some details here. I want to go back to the children a minute too. But what do you mean you did the details in the briefing? What happened on 9/11? What do you know happened on 9/11? We know it wasn't brought out by the people that everybody says it is. So what happened on 9/11?
Okay, now you're not going to believe this, but when I had to go to the hospital today, I was just I had to sit in the waiting room. Of course, you know. Even doctors have to sit and wait for other doctors, you know. So, I was in the waiting room, and a couple of guys that were in there, okay, waiting to see the doctor. They said, "You're Gregory Ford," and I said, "Yes, I am." And they said, "We just got your book, okay, and it was fantastic." And I said, "Oh, well, you should have been there, okay?" When I was getting the background for the book, and they said, "It is truly amazing," and we're actually spreading the word, of course. And we have so many questions. Can we give you a call sometime? Which I always welcome. You know, like I say, I don't expect everybody to believe it, but I know it's so incredulous that by all means, ask me. So. And I will lay it out as best I can with the details. Now, the details are, okay, as I said, I was actually, I was in Arizona when all this 9/11 business started. I was in Arizona at a place called Fort Huachuca, okay, and Fort Huachuca is just slightly south. If everybody's seen the movie Tombstone with Kurt Russell, Val Kilmer, okay, well, it's near there where I was, all right? And it's a training area, and it's actually, and most people don't realize, that Fort Huachuca is the largest intelligence training area in the entire world. Everybody assumes that it's someplace like Langley, Virginia, or someplace super secret or something like that. But it isn't actually in Arizona. And so we were there on the last day. We'd been there for about 2 months, but on the last day, and we had a fellow come in, okay, and he walked in, and he said, okay, everybody in this Quonset hut, all right, shut up and sit down. Okay, and he said it rather dramatically, you know, and like he wasn't going to tolerate any talking and giggling and laughter and so forth. And so we're all adults. We're all in the intelligence field for a long time. And so we realized something was going to happen. And he said, okay, now, understand this. is within 18 months from this date, and this was about July of 2000, and he said, everybody here is going to be in war, okay? You are the largest intelligence-trained group of counterintelligence agents America can produce right now, and we are going to be at war. And so, you know, when you're a senior intelligence person, you spend a lot of time being told super dramatic, super doom and gloom sort of things. And so we thought, oh, okay, all right, what now? All right. So we all sat down, and he said, and I want you folks to understand this and take the name. He said, my name is Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer. All right, that's Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer. And you could look it up right now. Go to your handy computer and look it up online, and you will find Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer, the commander in charge of an operation called Able Danger. That was Able Danger. All right? And I guarantee you, folks, you won't find a whole lot, because Able Danger, first of all, half of the group was killed in line of duty, and they were killed. All right? And but the thing was, is that before they were killed, here's what happened, was that Colonel Schaefer said, from this point on, within the next 18 months, as I said, there was going to be an attack. There was going to be a bloody, cold-blooded, homicidal attack on the World Trade Center, and of course, the World Trade Center with the two buildings, North and South Tower, and they are going to be attacked and probably destroyed. And then on top of that, there's going to be select, I'll never forget the meaning and the way he said this, select targets in the D.C. area that will be hit and destroyed. All right? And so what does that mean? Of course, we were all, he had our attention at this point, but he said, understand this, that there are 20 operatives we've been pursuing with Able Danger, and we know where they are, we know what they're doing, and I'm going to show you in a few minutes where they are and what they're doing, because you can see that what they're doing right from this Quonset hut across the valley. All right, so I'm sure I'm going to have questions on this, but that's expected. And so he said, now what they're going to do is they're going to hijack, which was a common word. Most intelligence operatives were familiar with it, but it was an antiquated word. Nobody expected anybody to do anything like a hijacking. But they said, understand this. He said, they are being trained right now to hijack 5 separate planes, and they are going to fly those 5 separate planes into the select targets that we just discussed. Okay? So, understand this. And you are going to be pursuing these people. You cannot operate on American soil. You cannot operate on U.S. soil. That's why we have the CIA, and we also have the FBI. And both agencies have been briefed entirely about this attack. All right, that's going to happen. He said, if you don't think it's going to happen, we have confirmation from 9 separate intelligence agencies that say they have the intelligence and they are warning us that it is going to happen. All right, this is before the 3,000 people were slaughtered, our U.S. citizens, 3,000 of our U.S. citizens were slaughtered on the streets and sidewalks of New York City.
So are you saying, Greg, that they knew about before it happened? I'm looking at the picture right now of Schaefer. I'm looking at Lieutenant Colonel. I see that right now. Look at the picture right now as you speak. So they knew about this before it happened, but they allowed it to happen?
Well, that's the whole story, Pastor. And so of course we're just humble civil servants, all right? And we were sitting there, and we couldn't believe it. And a few people, virtually all of these people, were agents that had worked with other agencies. Okay, they worked for the federal government, or they had, like I did, they had a job assignment with the state of I worked for the state of California, and so forth. But they kind of raised their hands and said, "Whoa, hold on a sec. This is a lot to ask anybody to swallow." They said, are you telling us that all these other agencies know about this? And he said, yes. He said, I've been responsible for briefing most of them myself. I know they know. Okay?
Wow.
I can't make it.
So this had to go right up to the top. I mean, obviously, Bush knew about it also. This wasn't done in secret. This had to be known right up to the top of the line.
My blood pressure goes through the roof when people say, well, do you think the Bushes knew about this? I will tell you what I know, and I have some of the finest experts in the world backing up my story on this. And yes, they did know. Yes, George H.W. Bush was the person who engineered the whole situation in New York, and that half-wit son of his actually accommodated the entire attack on the buildings, North Tower, South Tower, World Trade Center, and George and also Marvin was in charge of the security of the World Trade Center, and he accommodated the Israeli demolition engineers while they came in and actually wired the building with Tracor high explosive, HE high explosive. Now I'm naming the type of explosives, and I'm naming the people who were responsible and where these came from, because I need to be exact. I want your listeners to understand I'm being exact with this. And so if it hurts your feelings, if I say something bad about somebody that you have some sort of admiration, well, I'm sorry, but too bad. I've been through the ringer, been through a storm, a hurricane with this thing. And so if your feelings are hurt, I apologize right now, but this is the way it is. This is what happened with 3,000 people were slaughtered and blown and thrown to their deaths from concussion and explosion. And I actually saw several people fall myself. And so, you know, when you have it personal like that, you tend to take things personal like this.
Well, you know what? I interrupt you, but I knew that Israel had something to do with this. I knew they did because they were celebrating when it happened. I know that'd be a fact. That is true. So, gosh, time to go by so fast. So this was perpetrated, obviously, for a purpose to get us, I suppose, to declare war on Iraq and other places unlawfully do that. But there's a purpose behind this. And of course, Bush is in on it. When you went over there, what did you see when you got there? I mean, what happened? Why were we really there? And how about the people that were tortured, the locals that, you know, were tortured? What was going on over there?
Well, like I said, you know, I was, you know, in the last few days of 30 years of service, okay, and as a medical officer and a intelligence officer.
Hang on through the break. Don't lose that thought. Hang on through the break, folks. Back at the break, a lot more to talk about. If you have any questions, you can call next half hour at 844-769-2944. You're hearing it right from the source, folks, tonight. Don't go away.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
5 years ago, I had such chronic back pain that at one point I bought 3 mattresses within an 18-month period, hoping to relieve my lower back pain. I was only 40, and I hiked daily along with eating a fairly healthy diet. I was not overweight and didn't really have a reason for my back pain. As soon as I started using 3 sprays of Synergy One each morning, the pain immediately went away, and I've never had it again. I also use Synergy One before bed for a better night's sleep. Whenever my mom has back pain, I remind her to use Synergy One. Sure enough, she's all better after using it. I've probably given over 10 bottles away to friends with back pain. I take it when I travel and never miss a day.
Raising growth hormone levels to a more youthful level consistently results in deeper sleep, better energy and mood, fat loss, and the elimination of pain through the repair of injuries. Synergy One is guaranteed to improve the health of your body or your money back. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit synergisticuniverse.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here to tell you about our newest sponsor, a store food company that truly surpasses all the others for quality and flavor. Numana Storable Foods, the only storable food manufacturer that has all their foods grown in the USA. They are GMO-free, had no artificial sweeteners, no high fructose corn syrup, no MSGs, no chemical preservatives, and no soy. They are simply the best store foods available for all the right reasons. Go to Namana.com or call 888-597-0775 and mention code Pastor Butch and get 10% off your merchandise. Again, Numana.com or call 888-597-0775 and mention code Pastor Butch for a 10% discount.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Folks, I don't want to waste a second tonight. I want to get back into this because this guy, and you can look up his sources. You take time. He's going to give you a little bit. He's going to give you a court case number of his case right now before the Supreme Court. This guy's right on the bottom. He's right on the top of the truth. He's telling the truth from the bottom up and the top down. And I know that you're going to want to maybe check this out. And we're going to tell you how to get a copy of his book real soon. I know I want a copy of it. What really went on when he was in the intelligence for 30 years. Now, we were talking about what was going on behind the scenes in Iraq. I know we were duped in another war, like we were duped into Vietnam and even in World War II. We duped into that, all that. We've been playing like a fiddle for years in this country. We truly have. And it seems like we're willing dupes. I don't know why, but we are. But anyway, what happened in Iraq? What were we doing to the civilian population? What was going on over there?
Okay. Well, like I said, I do have a Supreme Court case. Okay, on file right now, and it's being reviewed right now. And I want everybody to take this number down. And if you have any doubt about any aspect of what I'm giving your flock, Pastor Butch. Okay, they can express their doubts to me anytime. And if they don't like it, like I said, you know, if they have their feelings hurt about something I say, well, that's another story. But needless to say, the number, if you're ready to copy, the number is CS, the letters CS, California Sierra, okay? And and the number is, the following number is 14-14-15050. Okay, that's 14-15050, and you will get my entire transcript, and you'll get all the court statements about how they are terrified to deal with the U.S. government. The Supreme Court is saying this, by the way, and they say this is so complicated that they're afraid to deal with it, okay? Which, I'm sorry, when I watched 3,000 people being slaughtered on the streets of New York, right on the sidewalks, you know, meeting horrible deaths, U.S. citizens, our fellow citizens, okay, that takes care of all the sensibilities that the court could have, as far as I'm concerned.
Amen. Amen. All right, so what, when you got over there, what did you see? What did you experience? Now tell me about the burning flesh. What's going on over there that we didn't know?
Okay. All right, what is going on? I'll start from where we were headquartered, okay? And my headquarters, which was the 223rd, okay, the 223rd Military Intelligence Group, and you can look them up, okay, especially the command. Those half-wits that had me strapped to a stretcher and shot me full of drugs and interrogation drugs and tortured me. Go ahead. I want everybody to look them up. There it is. And the thing was, we were headquartered in Abu Ghraib prison. Okay, I think everybody knows what Abu Ghraib prison is.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. All right, because some people, even today, I had two of these people that looked me right in the eye, and I said, Abu Ghraib prison. They said, no, we don't believe it. I said, don't believe it. That's where my headquarters was. My headquarters was assigned right there, and that was Building 1A, by the way. That's Building 1A, where all the torture, mayhem, murder, you know, unmitigated homicide took place right there, Building 1A in Abu Ghraib prison. Anybody doubt that? Go to your wonderful and loyal computer and type in Abu Ghraib prison. All right, and you will find all the pictures that are almost indescribable for me, because I was one of the people that had to apply my medical skill and medical training to try to save those people after my own people inflicted what they inflicted on that poor population, that benighted population. And I say benighted because here's why. Saddam Hussein, who we went to replace and cause, what was it, that sterilized saying that we like to apply, we went over for a change of regime.
Yes.
Okay, which is a pretty innocuous term of saying we went over just to kill him and shut him up before he could say anything about his connections to our country since 1958. 1958 is when he came to work for the United States of America. He was our employee. And usually about this time, I usually have some sort of disruption of my broadcast, right about that time when I point that out. And he was working directly for the Central Intelligence Agency, CIA, and he was working directly, if you need any more directiveness here, he was working for George H.W. Bush, one of the vilest creatures that has ever masqueraded under a face of respectability and responsibility of government, ever. Ever, all right? And so I have nothing but contempt for them myself. Every single person in the Bush family, and especially for George H.W. Bush. So needless to say, his whole Saddam Hussein's whole country was subjected to, and it was autonomous, self-governing country. It had been for a long time, but the thing was, is they had a leader that had been installed. The old king had been replaced of Iraq and been installed by our government. So, needless to say, and I don't need to explain any other sense of obligation here, is that Saddam Hussein was going to do exactly what we told him to do, and which he did. All right. So, and after 30 something years, hell, I wasn't even in kindergarten when Saddam Hussein was installed in power. That should give you a perspective. I'm sorry if I'm dating myself here, but I was not even in kindergarten. Okay, and so. And then the situation was such is that there was a country called Iran. Okay, everybody's probably heard of Iran by now. Well, guess what? We were busy knocking off Mossadegh, the leader of Sadegh Mossadegh, that was the leader of Iraq. I'm sorry, Iran, and we had him executed. Okay, executed. All right, killed, and then we had the Shah of Iran take his place, who was falling in line with our directives of the United States government, and we were running the show between Saddam Hussein in Iraq and his neighbor the Shah of Iran. And by the way, anybody wants to read another great book besides my great book that you can read, and this will be applicable in the next few days, is called The October Surprise. And I'm giving everybody this because the person who wrote the book, Barbara Honegger, okay, Barbara Honegger wrote October Surprise, and what her pedigree is, what her authority is that she was the intelligence analyst for George H.W. Bush and Ronald Reagan, both of them. In fact, on the back leaflet of her book is a picture of them looking at her holding the book. All right? So they obviously knew what she was going to write. And the thing is this, and it was written in the wing of the Western White House. Yes, that wing, the wing of the Western White House, was where she recorded her notes, and she put together her analysis. And guess what she found out about our wonderful, lovable scamps in the White House named George H.W. Bush and Ronald Reagan. Okay. I know everybody that, you know, that is a fan of theirs will be upset when I say this, but guess what? Those two were responsible for keeping the hostages in the Iranian embassy. Okay? It doesn't come any clearer. If you don't believe me, get her book and read her book. All right? And they were responsible for dealing with the Ayatollah Khomeini directly in response to making sure that the hostages were kept in the U.S. Embassy in Tehran. They were kept prisoners. All right.
Is that why as soon as Reagan took office they were set free, made him look like a hero?
You just put your finger right on the nerve of exactly the same situation. Thank you, Pastor. It's always wonderful to talk with somebody with clarity. All right? So that's exactly it. You've got it.
He made one of those look like a hero, and everybody worshiped Reagan. Let's take a quick phone call. Let's go to Jan in Iowa. Jan, I don't mean to rush you, but give about 1 minute. Go ahead.
That's okay. Real quick, I want to thank the prayer warriors. Logan is negative.
All right, praise God. Praise God, okay, good.
And I have a question. Why didn't any of the men in that meeting say anything publicly to warn the people that was going to happen?
A good question.
Or any of the agencies warn anybody that this is going to happen, that they're on the lookout for these people. If they knew where they were, they should have picked them up. Why
good point.
Wasn't that
good,
done?
Good question. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Greg.
All right, thank you, Pastor.
Okay. You're welcome. Thanks, Jan. Good question.
Good question, Jan. Thank you. All right. Now, as I was telling the story, you need to understand, I didn't finish the story. Okay, there was more to the story. Okay, of being in that little Quonset hut out in the desert, the Arizona desert in America, and when Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer was giving this briefing, and he said, "All right, now I've told you when it's going to happen. We don't know. We don't have an exact date, but because we have nine other intelligence agencies that are briefing us, okay, but we don't have an exact date when it's going to happen. But it's going to happen within the next 18 months, okay. So we have quite a window here, all right? And so, but believe me, nobody that was in that room would hesitate for a moment, including myself, to warn the American people, okay? And so the situation is, you know, nobody wants to be the person that says, holds up their hand and says, hey, you know, batten down the hatches. Sometime in the next 2 years, there's going to be an attack. We don't know when, we don't know how it's going to happen or who's going to do it, but we knew it was going to happen, put it that way. And so, anyway, the colonel, and you—I believe you have a picture of him, right, Pastor?
I do. Yeah, yeah, I do. Yes.
Right. Yeah. Right. He is a tough guy, I'll tell you. And so, and he's a no-nonsense kind of guy, straightforward. And he's the kind of person we need to have run for president, by the way. In my respect.
Well, if he's such a straightforward guy, why didn't he not warn the people?
Well, he actually did. There's much more to this story, because let's face it, who's as I always say, okay, and I said this on my court case with the Supreme Court, I said, qua bono, all right?
Yeah, who profits?
If anybody doesn't know what that means, what qua bono means is when you look at a big disaster, a horrendous historical statement like this, who stands to gain?
Right.
Who profits? Okay, and that's what we're looking at here, is who profits by slaughtering 3,000 American people. And it's not, I reinforce this and I say quite simply, look, people, 3,000 people is not a number. That's 3,000 of your loved ones, your friends, your neighbors, okay, your fellow citizens. 3,000 people is not a statistics. All right? That's what people tend to forget. They, 3,000 people. Oh, yeah, boy, that's really bad. Hey, Pearl Harbor, 3,000 people dead. Well, yeah, sure, great. We kind of forgot about that one. Well, almost exactly the same thing happened when Dick Cheney, months before, told Donald Rumsfeld, hey, what we need is a good wake-up call. We need to have an attack on U.S. soil, like Hawaii was, with Pearl Harbor. We needed to have an attack that wakes everybody up, you know, where we have something like 2,000 or 3,000 dead. That's what we need to have, wake them up.
Talk about scum. I mean, talk about scum. Talk about life like nothing. And I just reading here, Lieutenant Colonel Schaefer wrote a book entitled Operation Dark Heart that was censored. He wrote a book trying to expose all these things himself. So this guy did try to get some word out, folks. He really did, but who's going to believe him? I mean, we're talking about America here. America wouldn't do this. Let's take another quick phone call. Dino in Wisconsin. Dino, you got about 1 minute. Come on in, sir.
I know about what you're saying there, friend, since it happened. I've investigated. I praise God that you have the truth, and you do. It comes down to the three O's. You know what the three O's are when it comes to foreign entanglements? Oil, opinions, and opium. What do you think about that? Any comment?
That's true.
Yes, I think you were referring to, Dino, I think you were referring to gold, oil, drugs, as in God, the acronym God, okay? Gold,
right.
Oil, drug.
Hey, what's your name, sir? Where are you located? I couldn't hear you very good.
Okay, I'm out on the West Coast, all right? I'm in California, okay? Whoa. And you can get my book if you want to read it. It's by Gregory Ford, F-O-R-D.
Oh.
And you can go to any bookstore.
Okay.
The name of the book.
There you go, but my wife's brother was in Iraq. He was a commanding officer there for about 7-8 years, believe it or not.
We
didn't get along, obviously. He lives on the East Coast. I live near Milwaukee. Yeah.
Okay.
My wife's brother.
Get a copy of his book, if you can, Dino. It's called Midnight in Samaria. You got to see it. Midnight in Samaria.
Midnight in Samaria.
Okay. Thanks for calling. Exactly. I had to jump. I ran out of time so quickly here.
Yeah. Thank you, Dino.
And by the way, definitely I want a copy of the book. I certainly do. But we get another call now because caller, hang on a second. We'll get to you just a minute. So what you're saying is,
it's important that everybody's listening to me understands this point right now, is that Lieutenant Colonel Schaefer said, okay, all right, you got the gist, okay, of what we're going to do, what we can expect, and so he said, okay, everybody, stand up, go to the door, okay, which we went to the door and walked out, and he said, okay, you see the lights of tombstone, like the movie, the Tombstone. Okay, it is a real town, and everybody kind of nods, yeah, sure, great. And then he said, see those mercury vapor lights, in lines over there on that plateau, and everybody could see it. Okay, and he said, what you're looking at is the Morona Pinal Air Park. All right, and I'll say that again for anybody who didn't understand me. It's the Morona Pinal Air Park. And so, what do you think that meant to us? Nothing, right? And what does that mean to anybody but you folks? Nothing, right? Well, it's real simple, okay? As he stepped out with us, he said, I want everybody here to understand that Boeing is over there right now. All those planes you see that are flying on, onto that tarmac over there that are underneath those mercury vapor lights, those are Boeing aircraft. And those Boeing aircraft, those are the trainees. Those are trainees that are going to fly the hijacked airplanes. All right?
Wow.
And of course, then it kind of added a little relevance, and he said, what they are, those trainees are Baluki, and that is some really serious intelligence right there, folks. Is they're Baluki from Baluchistan, okay, and they are contractors, what we call contractors now, for the Saudis, the Saudi Arabians, okay, and they are learning how to fly those planes. Those planes that are going to be hijacked, and so they have to train them on how those specific planes work and fly.
I could get you on again because we can't cover it all 1 hour. But very quickly, there were passengers on some of those planes. Were the passengers really on there? Were they for real? Did the passengers die? Why could they not find any bodies or anything with them?
Boy, there is one big question mark, Pastor Butch. And the thing was, it is still being sorted out right now. Okay?
Really?
What happened to all the passengers? Exactly. And here's the other question mark, is what happened to those hijackers?
That's another question, yes.
And I can tell you this is a big mystery, is when I was in Iraq, and this is in all my reports, I had members of the Mukhabarat, the counterintelligence service of Saddam Hussein, who came to my source. My source was a very high-level sheikh. A sheikh is like royalty of the Arabs.
Right, right.
And they told him, they said, man, can you imagine, can you believe what morons the Americans are? They still think they know who the hijackers were of those planes. That was told to me. I put that in a report, and it wasn't very long after that, by the way, after I was told about the COVID, what was the COVID biological warfare weapon that he told me about. But he said, look, he said, the Mukhabarat, they're just laughing up their sleeves. They can't believe what stupid people the Americans are.
Amen. And we got to hurry. The COVID was actually developed in Iraq or Iran.
It was developed in Iraq.
Okay.
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 And I gave you all three sites,
right,
of in Iraq of where they were developed.
All right, folks. We'll get a quick phone call. Let's take another quick phone call. We're out of time. Mick, the Mexican Mickey, you got about 1 minute. Come on in, hurry, sir.
Oh, hey, Mike. That stuff was developed in Tel Aviv. I ran across some information on that one, what you're talking about.
COVID,
that's the main one. Have you heard of Project Bluebeam?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
And what's it all about?
I don't remember, but I've heard about it. I cannot tell you for sure.
Okay, it's where they can create artificial
right.
vision. Make
right, yes, yes.
They see things that are not there, but there's another thing. There was a bank robbery there in the building at 9:30 there in New York at that time as well. They stole, I'm not sure how many millions of gold and silver out of the bank there.
Well, that didn't surprise me at all. Well, I did hear that. Mick, I hate to be rude, but I got to jump. We're out of time quickly. Anything you want to comment on anything he said there very quickly, Greg?
Well, boy, you've got a really sharp flock here, Pastor Butch. I can see that. And
yes, we did.
I'm sorry, I missed his name. I didn't hear his name.
Mick.
Oh, all right. Mick. All right. By the way, my attorney who handles all my caseload against the government, his first name is Mick, too. So
okay.
I won't forget that name, Mick. Okay? So yes, Mick is absolutely correct. Those vaults that were in the basement of the towers, okay, they were found open when they removed all the rubble, all the gold, okay, all the gold that was part of the treasury funds, okay, of gold, yes, they were empty. The doors were wide open. All that gold had been removed hours before, and that's one of the motives of 9/11. That's one of the motives. There were several motives, but that's one of them. And surprise, we had a lot of stock investments and so forth that went bust on 9/11. That is why the money that was supposed to back up those stocks and those investments was in those vaults. All right?
Wow.
And, you know,
wow.
And like I said, remember what I said at the beginning of the show, Pastor Butch, is this. If you don't believe me, go look it up. That's what I want to see is an educated group. Okay.
We have about one minute left. How can I get your book again? How can people find your book?
You can get my book by going to Amazon, okay, books, and just typing in Midnight in Samara and my name.
All right. And if folks don't have computers, how can they order it otherwise?
They can go to any bookstore. Damn near any bookstore has it now. But I know for a fact the Barnes & Noble's bookstore is carrying it.
How much is a copy of it?
Let me see. The last time I saw it, I priced it. It was $16.
That's cheap enough. We're down about the last few seconds here, Greg. I want to thank you for joining me tonight, and we're not done. I got to have you. Well, you'll be on again next month. I want to get some more information from you on this. And please know I'm going to have you on again as soon as possible. If we still are halfway together as a nation after the election, I'm going to get you back on again to cover some more information. I also want to know what the October surprise is supposed to be. And we just ran out of time. We're down last few seconds of the time tonight. But thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you for your listeners being
all
so
right.
Patient.
We will talk to you again soon, my friend. Folks, by the grace of God, I'll see you in the office tomorrow. Man, you heard an earful tonight. Now, thank you. You heard the news being broken on our program tonight. So there you go. See you in the office tomorrow between 9 and 4 Eastern. God bless. Good night.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.